Hi and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Chris and Lee.
Danless this week, unfortunately. He's suffering from the TT.
He is, which happens when you live on the Isle of Man.
That is true. And one thing that does happen when you live on the Isle of Man and the TT is on is you get various celebrities coming over here.
And Eric Banner.
Eric Banner. Toto Wolff.
Toto Wolff started the race.
He started one of the races on Monday.
And official race starter.
Also official race prize giver-outerer.
Oh, right,
is
okay.
Is that a word?
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Master of ceremonies.
That's the kind of thing. And Chris spent a large part of Monday lunchtime trying to stalk him at the TT grandstand.
I did.
Failed miserably.
Yes. I did not find Toto Wolff. I'm sorry to all the listeners. He was within... He would have been approximately 50 yards away from me at one point, but I didn't see him. I couldn't get to him. He was in very... sort of secluded VIP area.
Yeah, under normal circumstances, to most people, I would say, try looking up. He's massive. But then again, you're 6 foot unfeasible, yeah. So you'd have been eye level with him.
I was clever as well, because I thought, well, what kind of connection would Toto have to the TT? I thought, well, Monster Energy. Maybe they've brought him over, but we later found out he came over of his own accord.
Thanks to Ben from Mercedes for passing that information on and replying to our email about him.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ben. At least we know he wasn't here on official business as such, but I went up to one of the guys in the Monster Energy area and just said, this might sound a bit weird, said, but I'm looking for Toto Wolff. And he sort of wryly smiled at me, kind of folded his arms and went, didn't look directly at me, went, I'm not sure that he's around, and sort of just shook his head a little bit. And I was just like, well, I said, you know, whereabouts can I find out? I'll explain why. I said, I'm on a podcast, so I just want to, we do Formula One, just want to interview him, just not formally, just grab a chat with him. And I had it all planned out in my head, and my last question to him was going to be, some people tell me I do a very good impression of Toto Wolff. What's your opinion on this?
I would have gone for, did you enjoy the Isle of Man, and will you be back?
But I had it planned out that was going to be my last question. I was going to ask him about Mercedes dominance and how he felt about the resurgence of Red Bull, but it didn't happen, so I don't have to worry about that.
Probably a good idea that you didn't catch up with him, sort of asking him questions about Red Bull at an event that was sponsored by Monster.
Probably not, no, actually, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, although on the subject of Red Bull, I managed to get within about 100 feet of Mark Webber at the weekend for Saturday's race.
Yeah, Mark Webber was here as well.
Yeah, completely missed him. Thanks to everyone, by the way, who... tweeted and retweeted our one from last week trying to get hold of him for an interview. Unfortunately, I don't think he saw it. But where I was watching the race was about five houses away from the garden that he was watching it in, because Honda hire somebody's house out every year at TT for the races and put all the VIPs in there. We've had Valentino Rossi watching it from there before. Mark Webber's been over quite a few times. And as it turns out, a friend of mine's family live five doors down from there. So if the roads hadn't have been shut, I could have got to that house easily enough. But if the roads hadn't been shut, it wouldn't have been TT, and Mark Webber wouldn't have been in their garden.
That's it. I mean, if you're not familiar with this, it's not just the TT is on roads, but it's not like you can just walk down the road to your mate's house if he's on the course. The roads are completely closed because it does become a full on racetrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how lucky we are here. Really,
I think Webber was only over for a day, wasn't he? Day practice.
Well, he was here for Friday night and he was here for the Saturday daytime. Yeah.
Because all is
he
not
was racing
lost.
On Saturday.
He was here Saturday. He was definitely
here Saturday
daytime.
For the race.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was doing LMP.
No, he was here for the race. Right. Because he was sending. He did put a couple of pictures. Up on
I
Instagram.
Thought he was on the other thing.
No, he put a couple of pictures up on Instagram of what he was watching, and it was remarkably similar, about 100 feet away from the exact same thing that I was watching.
Yeah,
I could see the scaffolding gantry that he was stood on to watch it. I even saw one of the marshals wave a yellow flag in between races, run over the road, and deliver a box of crisps.
My uncle's a cab driver and took him back to the airport last year.
Oh, excellent.
Last year.
However, all is not lost, because the TT, this is Wednesday night, we're recording this, and the TT doesn't finish till Friday. And there's a good chance that he could be back by then. This is full-on stalking, isn't it?
No, but there is an RMP1 race this weekend.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Well, we may be able to find somebody else that comes over.
Or Formula 1, people still involved in Formula 1 tend to... gone to Canada already.
Yeah, but it could be somebody ex Formula One. Murray Walker likes to come over here.
Murray Walker, yeah, Murray Walker is a big fan of the Isle of Man and has been here before for TT.
He has
even commentated on a parade lap.
Yeah, and the TT's been going that long that his dad took part in it.
Yeah, Murray Walker's dad. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Shall we talk about current Formula One instead of century-old motorbike races?
Let's do that.
Right. We'll start with some newsy stuff.
Newsy news.
Newsy stuff. Pirelli. We'll go for them first. They are claiming that 2017's tyres will be awesome for all the teams.
Awesome for all the teams. In what? It's very vague. It's very vague terminology, that, isn't it? They're going to be great. Yeah. Hang on a second. Tyres are going to be great. How? In that they're going to be unpredictable.
That's great.
In that they're going to be really predictable.
I think they mean grippy. Big, grippy, sticky
big,
tyres.
Big, fat, grippy tyres. Yeah. Slide. Able
fat
to
pH tyres.
Yeah, pH fat. Able to slide around corners.
Yeah.
And make driving the car more aggressively, mm-hmm. easier.
Speaking of which...
Sorry, it wasn't awesome. It was amazing. I overbalanced.
Oh, you Red Bulled it.
This flops into this, really. I meant to say this when we were doing the show notes. Alex Wirtz was saying the other day, as far as the ideas for the 2017 regulations, he said about as far as making cars safer, his point was, if we make cars safer, we can go back to having more aggressive, dangerous tracks that punish drivers for mistakes.
Yeah, which does
gravel traps. I think is essentially
gravel traps.
Yeah.
Concrete walls.
Yeah.
Now the regulations on the tyres, of course, we all know they're going to be wider. It's 80 millimeters
front tyres
at the rear and 60 at the front.
Sorry, 60 at the front.
Yeah, they're also going to be considerably heavier.
Well, they're bigger. They're going to be heavier.
Well, they're going to be bigger. Well, yeah, I think they're going to be heavier in relation to how they are now.
All right. Okay.
They look powerful. They give the sense of power. This is according to Pirelli's chairman.
Okay.
I don't know. Can you have more awesome tyres?
Yeah, you can. Monster trucks have pretty awesome tyres.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But we don't want to see a Formula One car on monster truck tyres, although that might be quite funny.
Do you not?
It might be hilarious, actually.
Go back and watch the highlights of the Japanese Grand Prix where James Hunt won the world title, and there were at least three of those cars driving monster truck tyres in that race.
Yeah, they had massively fat... fat rear tyres, didn't they, then, and skinny front tyres.
Yeah, I think one of the drivers that for years had the lap record until they realised that they'd got the timings wrong was using what they called a monsoon tyre.
Right, okay.
Which is like a wet weather tyre, but even wetter.
Yeah. They did have those briefly in the 90s again, didn't they?
I was just going to say, because I remember the first Formula 1 game out, Formula 1 97 still had monsoon.
Did they have monsoon tyres?
Yeah.
God. That's going back. Well, it's going back 19 years.
Yeah.
I'm not good at maths.
You're right there, Paul.
I've spent 5 out of the last 6 nights doing gigs. The only numbers I'm good with are 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Every time I've needed to check a microphone.
The unique feature of the Stuart car design is the long turn veins and high side putts.
We might have played the Formula 1 97 game before. We should do this and we record ourselves doing a podcast replaying that game.
That would probably be something for the off season.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Can we not just wait for
if you guys want to hear us do that? Maybe watch us do maybe possibly. We haven't really discussed this. I'm just thinking out loud now. Maybe even a video of us playing Formula 1 97. Let us know. Send us an email or tweet us.
Obviously, playing F1 16 would be nice when it comes out. And if Codemasters would like to send us a review copy, we do have a resident hardcore gamer in Lee.
Absolutely.
And there is a Twitter campaign going on that Michael Cohen's taking up the baton for. So
cheers
for that, Michael.
Nice one, Michael. Thank you.
Very appreciative.
Got a monster PC as well. Send me the PC version.
I've got a PS4, and so is Chris, and so is Dan.
Yes.
Anyway, so it's silly season time again. Again.
Yeah, again.
Well, yeah, we kind of covered this a little bit on last week's podcast when you worked with us, Chris. We came up with. We might have been wrong, or there's new rumours, or everything's been turned on its head, or God knows what.
And it always gets earlier every single year. I mean, we've only just had Monaco.
Yeah.
And not even halfway through the season. It used to be halfway, didn't it?
Yeah, it used to be like the summer break would be like when it started, sort of like the rumour mill spinning as to which drivers would be going to which teams. But we've had already this week reports from actual driver camps and teams talking to other driver camps and other teams. There's got some weird ones.
There's so many drivers out of contract, isn't there? I think that's why.
Yeah. There's
so many drivers out of contract going into what realistically is quite a big season for Formula One next year.
Oh, it will be, yeah. And everybody's going to want the right drivers. But I mean, we've got some pretty strange suggestions coming out. Well, not suggestions, but actual
reports, rumours, gossip.
Yeah, doing the rounds.
Yeah, first one I've got on here is Kvyat to Williams. I'm guessing as a replacement for Massa.
Well, you might laugh at that, but Danny Kvyat, you know, has he had a rough deal, hasn't
he?
Yeah,
he's had a rough deal.
It's not completely unfeasible to think that Danny Kvyat could go to Williams. I mean, he's had one podium already this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before he became a bit crashy. But we've seen drivers do a lot worse and get treated a lot better than Danny Kvyat.
Past Maldonado.
Yeah,
but Danny Kvyat doesn't have a massive check behind him.
True.
Yeah, but is it the problem with the Red Bull driver program?
Of course it is. There's too many of them.
Young drivers.
No, you can't have a we've said this before. You can't have a factory bringing drivers through into Formula One when you only have four spots for them. Two of those spots are revolving fucking doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's if I was a team owner, I would prefer Danny Kvyat in my car than Felipe Massa.
I would. Yeah. I have to go with that because Danny Kvyat's got the years ahead of him. And he is still a relatively young Formula One driver. You might think he's an old hand at, what is he, 24, 25?
Yeah.
Maybe not even that old.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still got a lot to learn. I mean, in like 5 years' time, he could be a brilliant driver. So I wouldn't
go that far.
No, he could be.
Do you think?
Yeah, he could be.
Do we say brilliant driver is in?
I'm not talking like Alonso, Vettel, Hamilton.
No, but we don't look at him and go, he could be a world champion, do we?
No. Right. But he could win races if he had the right car.
Yeah. Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, he could. Yeah. He could be Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, another one that's out of contract, of course.
Of course, yeah. There's a ridiculous amount of drivers out of contract at the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, one article that I've come across out of Renault, Force India, Toro Rosso, Sauber, Haas and Manor. 12 drivers in those teams, and only Hülkenberg has a contract for next year, and we think that he's going to end up in World Endurance anyway.
Yeah, I mean, having a contract for next year doesn't necessarily it's not a concrete thing in Formula One.
It depends, doesn't it?
If another team wants to buy him out, if a team from another formula wants to buy them out, if the driver themselves decides they've had enough and wants to retire. There's so many buyout clauses in contracts.
Look at Kimi. He got paid a fortune not to drive a Ferrari.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, absolutely. And went and rallied with it for 2-3 years.
I think on the Hülkenberg side of it, if he's got a contract for next year, I think he'll be in Formula One. I take that back now about saying he'll be out of it. If he's still got a contract to drive in 2017, he will be there.
It's a question of who he's going to be with because, it's silly season. Next one that we've written down, Jenson Button to Top Gear.
Yeah.
That's not really...
It's not a silly season.
Serious silly season one, but Top Gear fans are complaining that Chris Evans is too shouty.
Yeah.
And can they have Jenson Button instead because he's better?
But the idea of a Formula One driver, especially a former world champion like Jenson that has... sort of even the fitness stuff outside of Formula One.
Yep, he's very into his triathlons, isn't he?
To think that the BBC could afford to pay Jenson what they'd need to pay him to lock him in to coming back to the UK every other week to film a Top Gear episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking ludicrous.
It is. It's and they really would have to shell out for him.
You'd be talking like £1 million an episode.
Probably.
Yeah.
But the new Top Gear has got some pretty mixed reviews, hasn't it? We don't want to hang around on that for too long.
I haven't seen it.
I didn't watch it.
I saw the first episode. It was all right. It was Top Gear with different presenters. And
it's got Eddie Jordan on it, hasn't it?
He wasn't on the one that I saw.
Oh, is he not?
So he's only an occasional contributor.
Just the fucking threat of Eddie Jordan keeps me away.
Oh, good Lord.
We know you are one of his biggest fans secretly.
Yeah.
What a cult. Back to the list. Anyone have 15 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Next one on the list. Now, we've written down Massa to Reno, but since we wrote it down, there's also Massa to stay at Williams.
Because but then that brings us back round to Kvyat to Williams again. Kvyat's not. I wouldn't imagine Kvyat be going to replace Bottas.
There is more chance of me driving for Williams next year than Felipe Massa.
He says he says negotiations have begun.
Yeah, which means that he's turned his manager to say ring Williams up.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going well.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Renault side of things goes, obviously he's going to be replacing Jopo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately, Julian Palmer has had a bit of a shocker of the first part of the season, so we'll just see where that goes. But yeah, it looks like he's on his way out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Jenson Button's been touted as a possible replacement for him as well.
For Julian Palmer?
For Julian Palmer, yeah.
See, as a Button fan, I would prefer Jenson to go to Renault, I think, than Williams.
Yeah.
And I think
Williams will Williams it.
Yeah, Williams will Williams it. And I genuinely believe that within the next 4 years, Renault will win races. Whether they can
be in contention for a world championship,
maybe, but they will win as a works team. If they stay in Formula One long enough, they will win championships again.
They know how to.
Yeah. Well, that team knows how to.
Yeah, Enstone.
Yeah.
The Enstone team. Of course it does.
It's been bred into them since the Benetton days.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
The other one that we've got written down, it says Kimi to, and I can't read your writing, Chris.
Kimi to stay.
Kimi to stay. Oh, is that what it said? It looked like Seat.
He's going to go rallying again.
Yeah, Kimi to stay.
Kimi to stay. I didn't see that coming.
Arriva Bene has been dropping subtle hints today about the Ferrari lineup for next year, saying we've got the perfect two driver combination. Why would you want to change that?
And we know that Sebastian Vettel's also been pushing for Kimi Raikkonen to stay at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because, well, they're pretty much best mates and they get on well. They work very well together as part of a driver lineup, which is important to a team.
And you can see by the results they're getting, you know, you can really see that.
To be fair, Kimi was up until very recently was second in the world championship before Monaco. So, Kimi's actually doing pretty well this season. Seb's had a little bit of bad luck with Danny Kvyat.
Underperformed.
So far, he has.
Yeah,
that I haven't written down. Sorry, Paul. Just to interrupt. Okay. I was going to say about the Mercedes one as well. Dr. Dieter Zetscher, whatever his name is, the candy man.
Yeah.
He was asked about the future of Mercedes and Nico Rosberg in particular. His response was, and I think it's been taken a little bit out of context, but his response was, Pascal Wehrlein is our future.
Yeah, in 4 or 5 years' time, maybe.
Yeah, that's what he didn't say. You know, some people are like, he's our future. That means he's going to replace Rosberg now.
Pascal is the future.
When you're on stage, you don't get given a microphone for any backing vocals, do you? I am really glad about that fact. He may be the future, but I think he's gonna have to up his game with
he's gonna have to beat his fucking teammate.
Well, yeah, he's gonna have to up his game with what he's got in front of him. Which
Wait, I mean, let's face it. That before Jules Bianchi's accident, he was touted as being the future of Ferrari.
Yeah,
you didn't see him getting beaten by Max fucking Chilton, did you?
No, he wiped the floor with Max
Chilton.
Yeah, but that was Max Chilton. You know, he gets slowed down by the weight of his dad's checkbook. And anyone see Max Chilton sticking his IndyCar into a wall at the weekend?
I didn't see that, but that sounds quite hilarious. Might have to YouTube that.
It was a side swipe on a wall, and he managed to drop the front and rear suspension in the same bump, and then went all Verstappen. Now I don't know if IndyCar's got a beep machine.
Ah.
Oh, no, he couldn't have done that. They wouldn't need a beat machine. They'd have gone into the wall and been like, gosh, darn it.
Gosh, darn it.
Balderdash.
Prepare the G&T. I'm on my way back.
Oh, blinking flip. I appear to have had a prang.
Hold the line.
Sorry, Daddy.
One thing that we did talk about on last week that has sort of come up a little bit in other places is Alex Rossi, and I am now firmly of the opinion that we will not see him drive a Manor when Rio Haryanto runs out of money.
Rio Haryanto will run out of money, by the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether he does it before Sauber,
Indonesia, you are not texting enough.
No,
but I don't think we'll see Alex Rossi because he is now too successful.
Yeah.
He is an Indy 500 winner, of course.
Yeah.
If he comes into Formula One and finishes second to last or last, in a manner, he's not going to be the Indy 500 winner anymore. He's going to be the guy that just finished last.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy that couldn't hack it in Formula One.
Yeah,
the IndyCar driver who couldn't do it.
And the thing is, as well, if they were to bring him in America, which is where we'd imagine if he was going to come into it, he would come into it, there would be so much media attention over that. What can he do? You know, and you think, well, fuck all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's in a Manor.
Yeah, not because he can't do it.
He might beat Pascal Wehrlein. Yeah. That would be what he might be able to do.
Yeah.
He might be ahead of the Saubers if Sauber are still a thing and don't run out of money before Rio Haryanto does.
Mm.
Because that is possible.
It's anything could happen.
Sauber really fuck me off, you know, as a team now.
Starting to.
While we're on the subject of Sauber, Manisha Kaltenborn has been saying that she's been churning out the Formula One is unfair again.
Because they're losing, that's why.
Because they're losing.
Red Bull did the same when Red Bull were losing. Christian Horner, it's not fair.
Yeah, now they've started to do well again. Everything's fine and everything's great, and they love their engines. She's complaining again about certain teams have power of veto. She might want to be a bit careful about what she says because the main team that's got the power of veto is
Ferrari.
And whose engines do they use?
Ferrari.
Unless they're looking at not having those engines next year.
They might not have a car to put them in, but
you got to have a car first before you need an engine.
And also on the subject of teams that aren't going to have a Ferrari engine in the back of them next year, Toro Rosso have said they are hoping to be able to share data with the main Red Bull team.
No, they're both running the same engine.
Has that been confirmed?
Yeah, they're both running Renault next year.
Well, yeah, we know that they are, but they're hoping to share information between the two teams,
which they weren't allowed to do. They were stopped from doing that, weren't they, for a couple of years?
Yeah,
I just don't think they can't develop together.
No, it's gonna be a full. They want a full, complete information share between the two teams, effectively making it one extreme super team to the max.
Yeah. So even though you'll have the two drivers in the Toro Rosso and the two drivers in the Red Bull team, essentially what you're going to have is four Red Bull drivers. And what they are going for with the, I think we touched on this in previous podcasts, actually, what they're going for is top four.
I'm never going to not be pro this. And like there'll be so many people going, yeah, where? You're wrong, where? But I will always champion the three car team.
Yeah, that's fine. If you did now or if a couple of teams drop out?
Now.
You think they should have a third car now?
Get rid of Sauber or get rid of Manor.
I disagree with that. I'd like to see Sauber survive.
Yeah, but I prefer another Mercedes, another Ferrari, another Red Bull, another McLaren, if McLaren can do well, another Williams. I just think, because the thing that's really gets me now is because the the way we work with engines and the way we work with teams, it's like, it's, oh, well, Pascal's in the manor because he's a Mercedes driver.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of the engine deal, isn't it?
Yeah, but it becomes so convoluted and confusing, and then you have even the likes of Toro Rosso, when you've got Toro Rosso there that can't hold up a Red Bull and stuff like that, even though they should be fighting for position.
Yeah.
I just think it's unnecessary bullshit where in a perfect world, you could have, if you got another couple of manufacturers back in, you know, like Toyota or BMW, and all the constructors had three cars apiece,
mm-hmm.
and then there'd be no fucking extra team that's got a Ferrari engine. Ferraris would have Ferrari engines,
and BMWs that would be it.
Would have BMW engines.
Well, this goes back to my article like way back last year when it, you know, to.
I also understand that this is never going to fucking happen.
No, not
a chance. It's sensible, but it won't happen.
Yeah,
for it to become like a manufacturer sport rather than satellite teams, as they sort of are referred to MotoGP. The satellite teams are. You know, great to have an independent team, but they should have. Every team should look to be, if not a manufacturer-run team, the de facto
backed.
Yeah, the de facto team for that.
McLaren,
you
know. Mercedes type when McLaren.
Yeah,
was,
when Mercedes didn't. Yeah, have a team. That's it. Yeah. And then now they're the de facto Honda. De facto Honda team.
Yeah.
BMW, Sauber. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of agreement.
It's such a shame that. VW had its issues
with the cars.
Yeah, because
emissions
testing
and that.
I think a big brand coming into, you know, on the tail of Honda as well, like two big manufacturers coming back into Formula One, I think would have been really good for the sport.
Yeah,
I still think, because if Honda start winning, I still think Toyota will come back. There's no way that pride. Especially Japanese pride will allow
Japanese honour.
Yeah. They won't allow Honda to have Formula One all to itself.
No. I remember how much money Toyota threw at Formula One. It was $560 million.
It was something.
800 million.
It was $800 million. Ridiculous figure.
Good lord.
Absolutely ridiculous figure.
$800 million that they threw at Formula One, and all they did was give Lewis Hamilton a world championship.
Yeah. And I bring it back to the point I've made many times before. Gascoigne.
Yes, Mike Gascoigne. Yep. Oh, Toyota aren't a thing anymore. I'll go to this new Tony Fernandez funded Lotus team, which then became Caterham.
Yes.
Hey, T-Dog, give me a job.
Right, another story. We're not going to have all that many more of these because it's about tokens.
Yeah, some engine tokens have been spent or are being spent.
Ferrari have spent three of their remaining six tokens.
This is updating their turbo. An updated
turbo.
Yeah.
They've confirmed that Vettel will be getting it for Canada.
Yeah.
Don't know if Kimi will or not yet.
So that's a Vettel retirement
in Canada.
Then.
I was just going to say Vettel retirement confirmed.
Yeah.
And they also are thinking about introducing a shorter nose for this weekend.
In sympathy with Jean Todt, or?
I just hope they're not doing it to spite their face.
Shorter nose. Getting a shorter nose to spite their face. Yeah. Yes. Well, the nose on the Ferrari isn't particularly long anyway.
No.
So what are they going to? They're going to retract the wing into the tyres.
I bet they've got the same front wing as Mercedes. You know, Mercedes front wing seems to come out, and it's on those really too thin bits of carbon fibre.
The shark nose.
I bet that's.
That's probably what it is. So they've cut down the fitting space at the back, so they can pull.
Very much like that Williams BMW Williams from years back that had the big fat front on it.
Yeah.
Something quite similar to that.
Not as long as it's not the Walrus. That went really well.
I thought it looked really fucking cool.
Oh, it looked cool. Yeah. And what was the quote from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Looks like a fish, moves like a fish, stares like a cow. let's see, what else have we got on these lists? Oh, yes, it wouldn't be a podcast without a story about Williams
being Williams.
Yeah, I mentioned this very briefly before, you know, if in, you know, given their driver market, that Williams would just do a Williams to any driver that they got. They don't appear to give themselves the best chance. We've spoken before about how conservative they are, how defensive they are. Complete lack of aggression, and it's been even further confirmed still by Claire Williams.
By Claire Williams, who said, the team have got plenty to be proud of, despite not being able to match Mercedes or Ferrari. Come on down, Roy Walker. It's good, but it's not right.
But the problem is, they don't seem to be able to match Red Bull. So no. Realistically, she should be saying, oh, plenty to be proud of because we can't match Ferrari and Mercedes.
Well, was it
Red Bull?
2 weeks ago, we were talking about how there was...
They were really excited to be fighting to maintain their third place.
Yeah, we don't want to let our third place go to Red Bull or anyone else. Yeah. It's like, well, hang on a second, what about a second place Ferrari are going to start faltering?
Would this be Red Bull who, since they said that, have won a race and screwed up the chances of winning another and still got second place out of it, and how many Williamses have we seen on the podium recently?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the one, then.
But let's face it, all it is, like we've said so many fucking times, it's now only McLaren. If McLaren can get where they rightfully should be, as in up the front, where you know, fighting for podiums, that puts Williams back down to, like, fifth, sixth best team on the
Force grid. India are developing at a massive rate.
Yeah.
Their drivers are switched on, especially Checo Perez.
Well, you see, this is the thing. How many points are they behind in Williams?
What, how many points are Force India behind Williams?
Yeah.
I think... where you got Mercedes...
12?
Is it that many?
I don't know.
It might not even be that many. And then you've got Mercedes leading, with Ferrari still holding on to second at the moment.
Yeah.
Red Bull now in third place, with Williams fourth. I think it's Force India fifth.
Yeah.
I think. If Paul's just looking for Paul to confirm that.
Let me just...
With his generic white tablet.
If we have a look. It's an Acer.
That's fine.
That's Windows 10 tablet. Right, I mean, at the moment, Williams are in fourth, and they are a long way behind Ferrari. We've got Mercedes out front, 188, Ferrari second, 121, Red Bull third, 112, Williams fourth, 66.
Half the points.
Yeah, Force India on 37 in fifth place.
So it's a good 29 points.
Now imagine what the gap would be if Hülkenberg hadn't been shit this year.
I don't know if he's been shit or whether it's he's had
Perez has been all right.
I don't know if he's had Vettel's luck, because Vettel should be further up the standings than he is.
I mean, there's been a couple of accidents, hasn't there? He's been tangled up in.
Yeah.
Mm.
But there's been a couple of times he's finished, I think, with just being outside the points.
Yeah.
When Perez has been like fifth.
Yeah, and third at Monaco. Yeah. You know. No mean feat at all whatsoever. I mean, you know, what I'm worried for with when it comes to Williams, because I do quite like Williams as a team.
Yeah, I do.
But they're so conservative, and like, what now? We're really excited to try and maintain our fourth place behind a surging Force India team with two excellent drivers looking to score as many points as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen when you lose that fourth place? Are we really excited to maintain fifth place behind Force India? And stood, get aggressive, push forwards.
But this is... I don't think it's... I mean, yeah, obviously their strategy hasn't been the fucking best part of the team. But the problem...
It's been the funniest.
Yeah, it's been the funniest. But the problem Williams seem to have is the fact that they've almost lent on having the Mercedes engine. They lent on how powerful it was.
Mm.
And that car seems to... I mean, you could see in Monaco, the reason that car was so far down in Monaco is because they're lacking in aero.
Yeah. I mean...
When was it this year when they came out with their car? We were like, it looks
pretty identical to last year's. And with all the other cars, you saw some kind of evolution.
Yeah.
With
we had
Williams,
to look really hard with the Williams.
Yeah,
one.
With Williams, I think we found a couple of areas on the rear wing that were a little bit different, and that was about it.
Oh, the only thing that it could be, I mean, for all we know, they Williams have been sat there going, well, we've got Because they will, next year, they'll be getting the prize money for that last year, or is it this year?
Next year, they'll get the prize money for this year.
This year.
Yeah.
So they've got quite a good chunk of prize money coming in from where they finished last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they've thought to themselves, like, well, you know, we're going to, if we pile all this in, we're going to finish fourth, fifth in the championship.
I think they've forgotten who they were.
No, I think that now thinking about it,
they're spending 2015's money on 2017's
yeah,
car.
Yeah, interim year.
Yeah, which is perhaps what some teams need to do.
To be perfect, well, this is what it only just came to me. This, and if that's what they've done, we could be looking at the fucking masterstroke of what they maybe this is what they did when
2014.
Yeah.
Because 2012, they won that race.
Get with that bit of paper signed, Jensen.
Have you changed your mind, Lee?
Yeah. Smedley's a genius.
So they might not be Williamsing it up.
No, maybe not. Maybe.
But there is... You listen to a lot of conspiracy theory podcasts. Maybe they want you to think they're Williamsing it up.
But there's still...
I've just made a conspiracy theory.
But there's still that danger that they might just be Williamsing it. They've forgotten who they were. They were the world championship winning team of the 90s.
They need leadership. I think that's the problem. I don't think... as much as I like Claire Williams, as much as she comes across as being a nice person, she doesn't come across as a team boss.
Is she lacking that ruthless streak that other team bosses seem to have?
I think
Frank
so.
Williams had that ruthless streak.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Damon Hill, thanks for the world championship. Off you go, mate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I said on one of the podcasts not so long ago about Ron Dennis, and maybe you can see a decline in teams when the upper management starts to get older.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, Pat Simmons as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not Pat Simmons. Who am I thinking of?
Patrick Head.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Christ Almighty.
You would not argue with it.
No, Patrick Head scares me on the television.
He's miles away.
Yeah. Sometimes pre-recorded.
I mean, you say Pat Simmons. He's actually said that. We'll talk about this more when we talk about Canada. Mm-hmm. But he said Canada's ideal for Williams. So how are they going to bollocks it up?
Oh, I saw that. They reckon there's going to be a podium on the cards.
We'll come to this in the preview. We should have some sort of nice tinkly music behind us for this next one, but I really can't be bothered mixing it in. It's the bromance section.
Bromance.
The
bromance in Formula One.
Big Formula One bromance.
Oh dear.
You can stop now.
I just wanted to get to the end of the bar.
Okay. Typical drummer. Always trying to get to the bar. Yep, the big F1 bromance. Lewis and Bieber.
Justin Bieber again.
Yeah. After he was seen all over the place in Monaco, they've been...
Wearing his Pearl Jam shirt.
Wearing the Pearl Jam shirt, which you took great offence to, Chris, because I know you are a massive Pearl Jam fan.
I am, and that did offend me.
I don't even think it's an official Pearl Jam t-shirt, you know. I've never seen a fucking tie-dyed Pearl Jam t-shirt like that.
I used to sell them on. I had a t-shirt shop.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh. It was the Alive single cover on a tie-dye t-shirt, and that was an official one as
well. Was it?
Yes.
He's wearing it because it's retro. Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah, because I used to have a t-shirt shop in 1993.
And you're well retro.
What's wrong with my Sonic the Hedgehog t-shirt?
Not your clothes.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm wearing a Nirvana t-shirt right now.
You're wearing a John Lennon t-shirt.
Yes. Exactly.
There's my house t-shirt. I don't wear it outside because it looks like I'm wearing a t-shirt of my dad.
Yeah, they've been. There's been this kind of Instagram fest. I think they've all been on Instagram. They went dirt biking.
No, they didn't.
They posed on remarkably clean dirt bikes on the top of a mountain in Colorado.
Are you suggesting that those dirt bikes had like the mileage on them are fucking niche?
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
That pair of dirt bikes have never seen dirt in their lives.
Absolutely zero.
Neither are the motorcycles.
And they've also been posting pictures of them surfing.
Yeah.
On electric surfboards.
Yeah, they were
electric
fucking
surfboards.
Powered surfboards.
The surfboards were fucking dry.
Well, this doesn't make it.
No, there was no way. The wetsuits were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewis, please stop.
Yeah, like, if we know you like the Lewis Hamilton brand and everything like that, but come on, just.
Yeah, I mean,
be a racing driver.
What do you mean, man?
Mm. He's been hanging. They've been hanging about with Neymar at the Copa America.
Yep.
Trying to out-bling each other and out-silly hat each other. And
yeah. Also, Neymar handing over a shirt, a Barcelona shirt, to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Which is strange because Lewis Hamilton supports Arsenal, as far as I remember.
They could have a fine twatty tattoo off.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
they could.
Maybe he just wanted Lewis to get something out of Barcelona.
Ah.
Maybe something out of his fucking
head. Yeah, maybe Neymar was trolling Lewis with that.
Maybe slightly. Yeah.
Enough of that. We've got to move on because just the merest thought of Bieber is making me feel sick.
Sorry. Let's just go with the rumor. Apparently, he's doing the fucking podiums.
We don't know this.
We don't know this. We've seen it reported, but it was Fox Sports.
So
I'd imagine Fox is your one-stop shop for anything Bieber.
Probably.
Bieber's probably the only thing they tell the fucking truth about.
I like Fox Sports for their NFL coverage, I've got to admit. Mm-hmm. But that's about it.
You love NFL, don't you?
Well, yes, because, I mean, I also do a podcast called Three Legs Fourth Down, which is all about the NFL.
I suppose you are a touchdowns.
Oh! You're going to have to keep Jack Villeneuve out for that one.
No, I'm just going to punch him in the face.
Jack Villeneuve?
No, Lee. We need Dan to make us sensible.
We do.
Yeah. And the last thing that we've got on the news list... Renault, they are debating on whether to stop developing the 2016 car.
Do it.
Can we say, when did you start developing the 2016 car?
Do you remember that Williams story that we did the other week with Williams have stopped development on the car?
Except for all the bits they're
Williams
developing.
Have not stopped development on the 2016 car. It could be the same with Renault. It could be the fact they're considering it because they want to push for the massive regulation changes for next year.
I wonder if they've got stuff that they're working on, which is... sort of, they can flip flop between the regs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And they've realised they're in a worse situation than they were.
Yeah, you know, like you're talking about Williams being in an interim year.
Yeah,
this could be the thing with Renault interim year.
Yeah,
yeah. I just love the way that the BBC presented this story because
they've got no money and their reporting has gone downhill.
Well, no, it's even better. If you go to BBC Sport website, save me putting a link up. In the F1 gossip section, Monday 5th of June, Renault faces its most difficult decision over whether to stop developing its struggling 2016 model, complete with a picture of Julian Palmer's car with only two wheels attached.
Yay, journalism.
But Alan Prost has been damning Renault with faint praise because he's very happy with the progress they've made with their engine. Just look at how good Red Bull are doing. Mm-hmm.
that's a Tag Heuer engine, Alan. We're not allowed to call it Renault.
I wonder what Tag will be doing next year now that the love-in's going on.
It must be a multiple-year deal that Red Bull have got with them.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder how... Is it just a title sponsor, so can they be the Red Bull Tag?
It was
Renault?
A one-year deal with Renault... Red Bull Tag, wasn't it?
Yeah, Well, I don't know. I wonder if...
Well, yeah, because it was going to be a one-year deal originally because they were going to look elsewhere for engine supplies for 2017 and beyond, and they have got an engine supply for 2017 and beyond. It's just that it's Renault.
Mm.
Mm. So maybe they are changing engines from Tag to Renault.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Tag's always had a presence in Formula One, pretty much, so, you know...
Yeah, I mean, the name was all over the McLarens, as long as I can remember, yeah. And now I think we're on the Mercedes for a little while as well.
And they've always... It used to be, do you remember the official timing by Tag Heuer?
Yeah.
That came up.
I was always amazed that they let that slip and Rolex started doing it, because I realised that Tag and Rolex are premium brands.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I went into a Tag shop in America with $600, I think, because it was what I had left.
And on your last day?
Yeah. I thought, I'm going to buy a Tag. And the woman in that shop broke my fucking heart.
Here's the basic one. It's $9,000.
The basic one was $1,000.
You could afford to buy the case.
No, I could afford to buy the strap.
And she just gave me my heart back. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Went and bought loads of ice cream.
$600 worth.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Good ice cream.
You must really like ice cream.
Oh yeah. I tried to bring it back, though it didn't work.
No, it tends not to. It sort of leaks into your luggage. Shall we talk about Canada? Because we've got that coming up this weekend.
I don't even remember taking that much milkshake with me. I don't understand.
Yes, let's talk about the Canadian Grand Prix.
Let's talk about Canada. It's one of my favourite races.
I like the Canadian Grand Prix.
It's a fantastic circuit. It's got everything. You've got the fast straights, you've got the tight turns, you've got, of course, the Wall of Champions.
Yeah.
Concrete walls, long runoff areas, a really weird sort of pit exit where you actually come out into turn two. Makes it really hard to sort of work out where somebody's going to come out of the pits, depending on... And it's like a late dive into the pits, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
Where you're going off that.
You just sort of miss the last chicane, go into the pits, and then you come out and you've missed turn one as well.
Well, it's a lot shorter the exit, isn't it? You know, if you're
into turn two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always like
my favourite circuit, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good circuit. Yeah. The undercut always tends to work quite well in Canada, but we've got the return of the kitten soft tyres again.
Yes.
Because Canada is a circuit, despite the fact it's got a couple of quite heavy braking zones in it, not very harsh on its tyres.
But there's no braking and turning. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's very
the only sort of brake and turn area is the hairpin.
Yeah.
At the far end. That's the only one, so you can go easy.
And by that time, you're going so slowly, I'd imagine it doesn't put a lot of
a lot of sideways pressure.
Unless
you're Kimi, because for the last 2 years, he's ended up facing backwards at the hairpin.
It'd be interesting.
I wonder what the odds are on Kimi Raikkonen spinning at the hairpin.
Well, they reckon that was something to do with the old pull rod, wasn't it? It's pull rod they had, isn't it?
It's pull rod they've got now.
It was push rods before.
Yeah, apparently it was something to do with the push rods, wasn't it, with him? That he just didn't get on with it on that corner, particularly because... Yeah, I mean, the first year he came back in Ferrari, he was doing that quite a lot all over the show.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
That there, like, basically every time he seemed to go round, he went round.
Yes.
So, the tyre choices for this week's race. Haas and Renault have gone, as it's been described, fairly radical.
Which is one set of...
No, it's not. It's five sets. This is Renault. Five sets of softs for both drivers.
Zero super softs.
Zero supers and eight kitten softs. And Haas are going for three soft, no supers, 10 kittens.
Yeah, that's the one that it was Haas with the one with the 10 kitten softs. Both those teams have gambled incredibly on it being a warm weekend. Because I read something about the temperature switch on for the tyres. It could work out the super softs that if it's a colder race, it could work out that super softs actually are the better tyre to be on because they have a bigger temperature range.
Mm-hmm.
They work better in slightly cooler conditions. Whereas
the super softs, surely the kitten softs would work better in lower temperatures.
The kitten softs actually apparently work well in warmer conditions. They switch on easier. They're very difficult to actually get switched on in cooler conditions.
But wasn't it quite cool in Monaco?
It was wet, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah. But when they went onto slicks, and it was the super softs that wouldn't turn on, wasn't it? It was The kitten softs worked,
and they worked longer than everyone thought they were going
to. Yeah.
So
because I mean, it did warm up considerably after the rain.
I mean, that could prove. I mean, we haven't seen anybody choose zero of any tyre choice yet, have we?
No, I mean this is the first time because I mean obviously the two compulsory compounds are the softs and the kitten softs.
Yeah.
With the super soft, is it the reserve? They call it the third choice.
Is that what it's called? It wouldn't be. Do you know what? I would not be at all surprised if we saw somebody who's very good on the tyres, a Jenson Button or a Sergio Perez, for example, pitting very early on, lap two or three, as soon as there's an adequate gap.
Run to the end
on softs. I really think you could see somebody doing that.
I don't know. We'll have to wait for testing for that. I mean, it does that a whole race on. Because Don't forget, in previous years, you'd have brought super softs and mediums, wouldn't you?
No, softs and super softs.
It was softs and supers.
So you'd have had you'd have had the softs as that option, but now with the speed differential of between the like the softs and the super softs and kitten softs.
Yeah,
I think if they're running kitten soft and super soft, I'd be very surprised if a set of either of the like more aggressive tires would do a whole race distance. Maybe a pit and straight onto the softs would work, but then I think the time delta on the other tires would be so big that any gain you made by not pitting would be negated by the.
Remember, Lewis Hamilton did over half race distance on one set of kitten softs in Monaco.
Yeah, but it is Monaco. I mean, I know Canada is easy on its tires, but it's not Monaco easy on its tires.
No, because I mean the speed difference between Monaco and Canada is massive. Yeah, so.
And it's also the shortest track on the calendar, isn't it, Monaco?
It is one of the shortest circuits. I think Monza is still the.
Monza's the fastest. Yeah.
But
I don't know if it's just short. I think that's just the sheer speed of the circuit, isn't it?
It's pretty close.
It's the
shortest
race.
Lap time.
Shortest time race.
Yeah. But the weather's unpredictable in Canada. That's the thing.
They might not use any of these. Yeah,
well, it's right in the middle of the St. Lawrence Seaway. The circuit.
Yeah.
Does
so the temperatures can change massively even without the rain.
Is it the St. Lawrence Seaway? Have I got that right? Yes.
I think it is.
Yeah.
If any of our Canadian listeners want to correct us on this, then please do.
Or any geography nuts.
Because we don't know what we're talking about.
Or River Canada, we will call it.
Yes, River Canada.
Yeah. So, who do we think is going to go well on this one? Because Pat Simmons is saying it's ideal for the Williams, isn't it? Touched on earlier, with the long straights and fast corners.
Yeah.
But who else is good on long straights and fast corners?
Everyone.
Yeah. Apart from McLaren.
Yeah.
McLaren have already admitted it's going to be a tough weekend for them, actually. Yeah.
I think it's all going to be down to just how much of a difference that Renault engine made.
Yeah. It's definitely an engine circuit. Yeah. And of course, this weekend, we're going to be seeing both Red Bulls and, for what it's worth, both Renaults with the new engine rather than just one per team.
I don't think the Renaults are going to
trouble the scorers.
I think it was Andrew Benson on BBC who quoted this week that the difference between horsepower in the new Renault upgrade and the current Mercedes engine is about 30 horsepower.
I thought it was as much as 60 is what I read somewhere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, either it depends, doesn't it? Because we don't know.
30 horsepower, by the way, in Formula One terms, is nothing if you've got a better chassis. And we don't know that the Red Bull is worse than Mercedes. It could well be better.
I think the way that car's performed, given the way it performed in Spain, because there was no engine upgrade in Spain, was it?
Not in Spain. No, they missed it for Spain. Sorry.
And
yeah.
The way that car performed, and the fact that a Red Bull won it, and
outperformed Ferrari.
It should have been a 1-2, really, if they've got the fucking shit together. I say that they've got the best chassis on the grid.
Also, don't forget as well, Danny Ricciardo got his first ever win at Canada. Mm. It does seem to be a circuit that does well to drivers who get their first wins there.
But it's never really been a Red Bull track, though, has it? Remember when Vettel went fucking mental because they won it? Because they've been trying to win it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Don't forget, it's where Lewis got his first win as well.
Yeah.
Lewis got his first win in 07. There's been a couple of drivers, I think, that got their first wins in Canada and went on to much bigger and better things. Yeah. But drivers who go well, Ricciardo and Hamilton there straight away. Jenson Button's always going to be in contention. I just don't think he's got the car.
No, I don't think the car's there. I think they're gonna go out in Q1 this week
with the Saubers and the Manners. One
McLaren out then.
One McLaren out. Probably Jensen, to be fair.
I can't argue with that.
I've just done some checking up, and McLaren are 90 horsepower down on Mercedes. That is the estimate.
So quick. I wonder what Renault was down before the extra 30 horsepower.
That's a good question.
They didn't actually give any figures on how much and how well they'd upgraded. It will be interesting to see because it's an engine circuit. Yeah. But will we see the Red Bulls challenging the Mercedes? I don't know. I think we'll see the Red Bulls safe in third and fourth at the worst.
I think the it's going to be interesting to see, because if the 30 horsepower or whatever it is can bring that engine closer to Mercedes, because let's not forget that from turn one, it's a pretty chassis circuit.
The first sector, definitely. Yeah. Second sector is kind of engine, and the last sector is engine.
Up until the straight before the hairpin.
Mm. The Kubica wall.
Yeah, yeah. Up until there.
If you've never seen that accident, by the way, go on YouTube and have a look at that.
Spectacular.
Yeah,
the most spectacular sprained ankle in history.
2006 or 7 was that?
7.
In fact, I'd argue that first straight, it's from the hairpin that it's a problem, really, because that first straight where Kubica crashed, it doesn't seem long enough to cause any massive problems. Do you know what I mean?
Going up to the hairpin.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think because it's always when you hit top gear, isn't it? That's where cars start losing out engine performance, because the Mercedes can keep going.
Yeah.
Where the Renault car can't. I would be surprised if they're hitting the rev limit on that. You know, that straight there before the hairpin.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So it's whether. If they can keep close in the two,
it's all to do with setup as well.
Yeah, but if they can keep close on those two straights essentially, and nail the twisty bit.
Do you know who might be giving Mercedes a really good chance? Who might be giving Red Bull a really good chance of winning this race? Would be Nico Rosberg.
Yes,
because he had a poor Monaco. And I've spoken before about psychologically, when his head goes down, his head is down. So if he doesn't have a very strong weekend leading up to the race,
he's liable to do something stupid.
He's liable to do either something stupid or allow himself to be bullied out of the way again. And if he's bullied out of the way by a Max Verstappen, a steaming Max Verstappen, I don't mean steaming as he's had too many to... You know, after steaming up to first turn and he allows that to be bullied out of the way again, he could get frustrated. And a frustrated Rosberg is not a good Rosberg.
Yeah.
No. So, driver-wise, Nico Rosberg needs a strong weekend here to reassert himself over Lewis Hamilton. Likewise, Lewis Hamilton has to do the same.
Yeah, but since Monaco, Lewis appears to have been on the piss with...
Biebs.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's going to have any impact on Lewis's performance.
Maybe he's just getting to know Canadian culture because Bieber is Canada's ambassador to the world.
He's not.
This is
a lie.
Thank you, Canada. We prefer Robin Sparkles.
I prefer.
you'll notice, obviously, we mentioned before, we're not talking about Sebastian Vettel in this because he's going to blow up. Whether he gets through qualifying or not with a new turbo, we don't know. But
although our predictions are often so far wrong that he may actually have the strength and power in that new Ferrari power unit to go and win the race. Blow everybody else out of the water.
The problem with this is, though, I don't think it's a performance upgrade. I think it's a reliability upgrade.
Right.
So...
Because they have had problems with that turbo. That's what blew up on him when he had to retire before the race, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His turbo went kaput.
Kimi's had a blow up as well at that as well, I think.
That was the first race. Something went wrong and he pulled into the pits on fire. Yeah. And casually just sat there whilst they put the fire out before he got out of the car.
He's not getting out of the car without an ice cream.
No, still one of the greatest moments of Formula One this year. Kimi Raikkonen in the first race, something called Something's Gone Wrong, and he's come driving into the pits on fire. I mean, does Kimi have a penalty for this
no,
Grand Prix?
He got away with it.
He got away with the penalty.
The two Sauber boxers do.
I think Sauber both got. Ericsson's definitely got a 5th place.
Yeah, I think both of them.
Didn't know that NASA did. So that's going to put them last on the grid unless Manor changed the gearboxes. Because I can't see Sauber getting higher than 19th and 20th.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I mean, it could be, because don't forget the Manor's been described before as a rocket on the straights. Manor could,
By Kevin Magnussen.
We could actually see Manor out qualifying Sauber.
Yeah.
Which will just show how far Sauber have sunk.
It will, yeah. And they are a team that is sinking.
Yeah. Big weekend for Julian Palmer as well. He has got so much to prove. They've had to give him a new chassis because he's broken the old one completely.
What happened in Monaco?
Monaco, and I think it was fairly damaged. It was well loved.
Well loved.
I think we can say by walls.
Yes.
I think
the chassis thought Pastor was still driving.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Julian Palmer's performance in this race will define the rest of his season, as in it will define if he's going to have a rest of the season or not.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Esteban Ocon is on extreme standby.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could see Ocon given a chance in Baku. Depending on what happens, Palmer may get his seat back for Silverstone.
Do you think there's any chance Alan Prost could fucking weasel Nicholas Prost in?
I would be surprised.
I can't see that happening because Renault seem to be putting all their efforts in Formula E behind Nico Prost. So.
Yeah, but it's finished. In July.
True. But would you really want a grid with three Nicos on it? It'd just get really confusing.
I wouldn't want... It's not Nico, is it? It's Nicholas, is
no,
it?
Nico Prost.
It's Nicholas, but everyone calls him Nico.
Oh, right, yeah, but his name's Nicholas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But the... I mean, I wouldn't want a grid with him on it anyway, because he's a bit of a mardy twat, but the...
Don't hold back. Say what you think.
Yeah, well, I try and sugarcoat it a little bit.
Yeah, to everyone that said don't censor Lee, this is what you're getting. You asked for it. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, look at
the people have spoken.
Yeah, but look at his dad, Alan. How miserable he always used to be. He actually got kicked out of Ferrari for complaining too much. Yeah. So you know, you want to talk about being a mardy twat? He's following in his dad's footsteps.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but it doesn't like where it's fallen.
No.
Who else has got a lot to prove this weekend? I think Esteban Gutierrez needs to put his foot down.
I was all right in Monaco.
Yeah, it'd just be interesting to see what he can do on an engine circuit, on somewhere fast.
Up again, especially in comparison with Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, who...
Grosjean's done well in Canada before, hasn't he?
Grosjean has. Gutierrez hasn't. He's raced there twice and he's never finished higher than 14th.
Ooh.
So Gutierrez really needs to have his best Canadian performance ever.
I think Grosjean got...
doesn't deserve to be in Formula 1. He's not a bad driver. He deserves to be a professional motor racer, but he does not deserve to be in Formula 1.
Who do we put in that Haas seat then if he's in the same sort of boat as Julian Palmer and possibly losing a seat before mid-season?
Alex Rossi.
Yeah.
Alex Rossi or
a Ferrari, owned American driver driving for a Ferrari powered American team.
Is he still Ferrari owned?
I think he's got some contact with still some contacts with Ferrari.
Right.
I don't know.
It does seem to be perfect, doesn't it?
It's we said it last week. We've had a couple of tweets.
It should have been him anyway. Yeah.
We've had a couple of tweets on the subject from. Couple of our American listeners and big Haas fans or Haas fans. I always say it wrong. I can never
Haas. Haas. I think it's Haas.
Yeah, it is Haas.
Team America.
Sounds like double S, but it's actually double A.
Yeah.
Paul's just a bit half-hassed when he speaks about it.
Yeah, it's a Dutch name, but you've got to say it in an American accent, and that just throws me out completely.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've had a couple of tweets from couple of American listeners. both big Haas fans, and saying, yeah, Rossi's perfect, would love to see it. And I think he'd do a damn good job.
I think it would pique interest as well. One of our listeners say that it would pique interest in America if you had an American driver who had won the Indy 500 driving for an American team in Formula One.
Yeah, it's kind of the perfect storm.
Yeah, because they can't naturalise Romain Grosjean as an American yet.
Not really.
No. So
to be perfectly honest, I think...
Although Nico Rosberg hasn't been American yet, so there's still time for him to stick that passport in his
direction. Yeah, that sounds quite... Yeah, Monaco Finland, Germany. Yeah. Why not US?
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I'm Nico Rosberg.
That would be Nicky Rosberg then, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Nicky yeah, Nicky Rosberg.
But I think really, I'm sorry for this for our American fans, but the closest thing they've got at the minute, which I think embraces their culture, is really Lewis.
Yeah, and because
he's knocking about with Bieber, he's got an old Canadian, eh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I'm sorry to our American fans and listeners for my terrible accent that I did approximately 30 seconds ago.
It's a pain that never ceases. Who else needs to do something well? I think Kvyat needs a good weekend.
Yeah.
He does. He needs to not lose his mind, as Kevin Magnussen said, and do something silly.
Yeah.
He also needs a little bit of luck as well to go his way, because, like we were saying before, he has had a bit of a rough deal.
To be honest, at the minute, I think Sainz needs to start putting some performances in too. Because don't get me wrong, Sainz has been doing perfectly well.
Yeah, he's a very good driver.
But when you've got Danny Ricciardo and... Max Verstappen in Red Bull now, that means that team is the bleakest place on the grid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have literally got, like, you are staring at a brick wall.
We were saying about how much. Yeah, we were saying about how much it means for, you know, it speaks volumes about what the Red Bull organisation is like. Mm. Ted Kravitz called him career destroying, didn't he? To Christian Horner.
I think he's bang on.
He's not wrong. I mean, they do have to be ruthless, and they always have been. In his work,
Jamie Alguersuari should have been a race winner.
Oh yeah, Alguersuari. Yeah. You know, he had a couple of bad races and he was out.
Yeah.
So I'm on the Formula E coverage the other week. Actually, he was dressed like Prince.
He's quit racing, isn't he?
He's quit racing. He's a full time DJ.
Now. Yeah.
The DJ Squire.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What he goes under.
Yeah. And apparently, I don't know, but it's apparently, yeah, he's not bad. Yeah,
he's all right. I don't do hippity hop.
No, it's not. It's like...
like a dance producer.
No, it's full on like electronic, but like atmospheric electronic. It's more in... I would say it's more down the lines of Nine Inch Nails than...
Oh, right, can I look at it? Don't forget, you're talking to somebody who spent the last week...
It's not industrial metal, but do you know what I mean? It's more...
Yeah, you are talking to somebody who in the last week has been doing quite a few Metallica and Slayer covers on stage. Yeah.
I was very surprised, actually, when I saw you start your set with Slayer. I was like, yes! Very impressive. Anyway,
we frequently do.
Enough of the music that we play.
So Kvyat needs to get his head in gear. Sainz, I think he's performing well, but this season is his audition for other teams.
Yeah, it has to be.
I don't know that they'll put him in for a third year, and if they...
The thing is, though...
If he's contracted.
Yeah. Well, he's not. He's not, because the list of teams with...
is he out of contract?
Yeah.
Oh, Haas. He would be a great grand fit for Haas.
He would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because don't forget, out of the list of teams that I gave earlier and Toro Rosso were in there, and there's only Hulkenberg with a deal for next year.
I'll be interested what he does, actually, because I think he's...
I don't think he's...
He's a screwed-on guy. He comes across as being quite an intelligent
bloke. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to have like a year out, maybe, and then come back in a team at the grid.
No, he's not good enough for that.
No, I think...
Not good enough to take a year out.
I think he will be at the new improved Toro Rosso next year for the simple reason that they've got the more powerful engines, and if they're going to be sharing the data with Red Bull, effectively it'll be Red Bull 2. And basically what Dietrich Mateschitz will be saying is, you sign with Toro Rosso, we know it's going to be a third year, and that's a first for anyone in this team, but... You will be third, guaranteed.
Yeah, but it's not a guarantee, though.
Oh, you'll be the third driver in our organisation.
Yeah, but what good's that when we're constantly going to get told to move out of the way for the two Red Bull drivers?
Yeah.
Red Bull will never let Toro Rosso challenge Red Bull. It's happened before, but only when Red Bull have got it fucking wrong.
Like when Malaysia last year.
When they had Ferrari engines. Toro Rosso had Ferrari engines, and it was when Red Bull had first gone. Renault.
When they did the big switch.
Yeah, and it wasn't working for them, and that's when you had Vettel win a race, if I'm right.
Yes.
Yeah. So at that point Toro Rosso was like there because of the engine.
Yeah.
If they've got the same engines, it will always be the B team.
It will be. There won't be in the Adrian Newey car. So.
And I think you've got, if he's got the chance to switch now and become his own man, then that has to be the choice.
Mm.
Or he's Alguersuari'd.
Which is a massive shame, because he's, Carlos Sainz for me is a very, very good driver, and he's only been slightly overlooked because of the...
Don't forget how marketable his name is as well for a team.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, with the pedigree from the world.
What did his dad drive? Is he Mitsubishi?
Toyota, Ford. I'm pretty sure he won his world championship in a Toyota. Mm. You remember he drove for Ford as well. I don't know if he ever drove for Subaru. He may have done. Maybe done one season in a Subaru.
They did. Might have done something with Seat as well.
Yeah.
Spanish dream team. Probably.
Seeing as how we broke the story that Seat are coming back into Formula One, maybe
Maybe that's it. According to our production notes, Kimi and Carlos to Seat.
It's just my terrible handwriting.
Where does that leave us?
Predicting things for Canada?
Manor to out-qualify Sauber.
Manor to out-qualify Sauber.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we think? Should we work forwards? Do you think McLaren are going to outperform Sauber?
No. I don't know. Yeah, probably. But...
I don't think we're going to see McLaren in Q3. I'm with you on that. Unfortunately, that will mean it will be Jensen that goes out in Q1. And Lee, if you do a sports cry about that, would you record it so I can put it on next week's podcast?
I might do a sports self-harm.
I think if we work from the back, I think you're going to see Sauber at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Manor in front of them, if Rio can stay out of the barriers long enough.
I don't think you'll have Sauber in front of them because...
Manor in front of Sauber.
I mean, unless the grid penalty comes into it, but as far as actually in qualifying it before the grid penalty is applied, I think Sauber will be ahead because, fucking controversial, I think Sauber have got better drivers than Manor.
Marcus Ericsson does appear to...
I think Ness is better than Ericsson.
I don't know. Ericsson appears to ebb and flow. When he ebbs, he's no good at all. Mm-hmm. When he flows, he's good. He's I'm going to say he's great. He's good. He's a very good driver. NASA started fantastically, got a little bit worse, and has just been on a downhill slide ever since.
I think the problem for NASA is I think he's a real driver, and I think the car's frustrating him. Whereas I think that's where Ericsson gets.
I think he's unhappy.
I think that's where Ericsson gets the edge over NASA, because since Ericsson's just a pay driver, he's just a rich...
Well, so is NASA.
Yeah, no, but he's
also... But NASA is a driver.
...a fucking GP2 world champion.
Yeah, okay.
And the...
Pastor Maldonado.
Yeah. But I think NASA thinks he deserves more, whereas I think Chilton 2.5 he's just in a Formula One team, isn't he? That's what he's paying for.
Right, I see what you mean.
He's got the toys that he's asked for.
Ericsson is still the only driver to have gone from being a full-time Caterham driver and then gone anywhere else in Formula One. Before him, everybody else in Caterham retired from the sport. Mm-hmm. Everybody, I mean, Heikki Kovalainen came back and did two races for Lotus when Kimi had his back surgery.
Fucking ridiculous getting Kurt Vilanen back in that car, and the amount of the amount of people that were lobbying for it, all the fan like, oh yeah, get Kurt Vilanen back, he's really good, really. No, he's not.
He might have been good if he'd had more than 10 seconds in the car before he had to start the race, because in the circuit of the Americas,
you know how you would have known if Kurt Vilanen was good?
He'd have won more than one race in a McLaren,
in that McLaren that won a fucking world championship.
Yeah,
that McLaren.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you might have a point on that one. Yeah, I think after the two cellar dwellers, we'll be seeing the McLarens next.
Renault, I don't know.
Renault, you say Renault might be down there, but I think that new engine is going to give him the edge over McLaren.
And I think Toro Rosso are actually going to struggle in last year's Ferrari engine.
Yeah. I think you're right.
So I think Toro Rosso will be down the back end.
Yeah, I think we may actually be missing out on Toro Rosso's in Q3.
Mm. Yeah.
Force India are on the up, so we will be seeing a good solid performance from them, and I think
Q3 is two Mercedes,
yeah,
two Red Bulls,
yeah,
two Ferraris,
yeah,
well,
two Force Indias.
Yeah, but no.
Could be two Force Indias ahead of the Williams.
I think the Force Indias might be ahead of Williams. Force India might be ahead of Ferrari, because Ferrari don't seem to make any steps forward with that fucking engine. So at the start of the season, the engine, when they were looking at pure pace, didn't look to be too far away from Mercedes.
No, we thought they could challenge at one point.
Mercedes have made a move forward. Renault have made a move forward.
Ferrari have not.
Yeah. Ferrari haven't. And that actually reflects worse on Toro Rosso as well, because, you know, this year's engine is going to be better than last year's engine. So I think Toro Rosso are going to struggle with this one.
It could be a big indication, actually.
It could.
Ferrari's season is going.
Yeah,
this race.
It could be a tricky. In that case, it could be a tricky one for Haas as well.
Yeah.
Because it all depends on that Ferrari engine.
Do they have last year's Ferrari engine? Or they
no,
got
they
this
have
year's?
This year's. Yeah. They have this year's. There's only Force India on the grid that are running a 2015 engine.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, and Toro Rosso.
Sorry, there's only Toro Rosso that's running a 2015 engine.
Oh yeah.
Don't know why I said Force India. But yeah, two Force Indias in Q3.
It's not unlikely.
A possibility.
If that happens, like Hulkenberg needs to pull his socks up. Like, oh, mind you, he's been the better qualifier. Hasn't he?
He's been the better qualifier, but Perez has been the better racer.
Yeah.
And this is being saying tyre saving kind of track. I do expect Checo Perez to do well again. Probably not a podium, because there's too much going on in front of him.
Yeah.
But a top five, Hulkenberg finishing position. Don't think that's out of the question for him.
I mean, we could see
eighth, ninth. I reckon.
We could possibly see a podium, depending on if mental Rosberg happens.
Rosberg was overtaken on the run down to the line by a Force India in Monaco.
Well, don't forget, like we were saying about weather before, we have a wet Canada. It could be just as fucking crazy as a Monaco.
Well, the best race ever for me was that wet Canada in 2011. Oh, yeah. That was the best race of all time.
Mm-hmm. Vettel had dominated. The longest.
Oh yeah, Vettel had dominated the season up to that point. And it was like, Vettel's unbeatable, blah, 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 this Red Bull car's too good. Lots of people complaining.
It's a new
Schumacher era.
Button was the better driver that year out of the pair of those.
Oh, yeah, he was better.
If that car hadn't have been so bulletproof, that should have been a second world championship.
For Jensen to win that race in 2011 after being hit up the back end by Lewis.
Yeah.
He came out of the pits halfway through the race in last place.
He was last four or five times.
He pitted five pit stops and he was 21st with like half the race to go out of 21
overtook
runners.
36 cars.
Was that what it was? 36
overtakes.
36
overtakes.
That's ridiculous, and I remember watching the race, and I was watching with a friend of mine who's not that into Formula One, and we were watching it because it was so unthought of that a race could be stopped for so long because of the rain, and we watched it, and he's not into Formula One, and he was on the edge of his seat, and he was like, he's not going to win this race, is he? And I'm like, probably not. He's got three laps to go. He's like in fifth. He's catching Michael Schumacher. If he gets past Schumacher, he'd be on the podium, but that'll be pretty good. And then before he knew it, he's past Schumacher, and then he's past the next driver, and then it was you're 2 seconds a lap faster than Vettel, you'll be on top of him on the last lap.
Yeah.
and Vettel made that mistake on that last lap.
I'm also still.
And we both.
He was that fast at that point. I think because even Jensen's plan, he said, was always to DRS him on the straight. And I think he'd have won that race without
Vettel's mistake.
Without Vettel going
off. The thing, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Three Legs, Four Wheels retro hour.
But I mean, that to me, you know, for me and somebody who's not interested in Formula One, to just both be stood up.
Yeah.
Hands on head, like, oh my God, is this actually happening? Because I remember, you know, he was in last place. He was like, oh, well, Lewis is out of the race because he buffed it for himself.
Yeah.
Does it qualify as retro if it's only 5 years ago?
Well, maybe.
Well, I hate to say, but we are looking at it in retrospect.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we do one every after every race where we look back at the race before.
Yeah.
So is that a retro podcast?
Yeah, that cup of tea that's empty in front of you, that is a retro cup of tea.
Right, okay. Lee Logic strikes again. So, top three.
Top three. It's a tough one. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton to win.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Daniel Ricciardo in second.
Mm.
And Nico Rosberg third.
I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for Danny Rick win.
Mm.
I think
finally get it right.
Yeah, I think Ricciardo will stop Williamsing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Red Bull will stop Williamsing it up and take it. Lewis in second and Verstappen in third.
Verstappen in third?
Yeah.
Mm, fair enough.
See, on paper, I think it should be a 1-2 for Mercedes with Ricciardo in third.
But on tarmac...
But I don't... Yeah, no, it will be. It's Lewis will win, Nico will be second... Danny Ricciardo will be third, but the sort of caveat for that is, I think if
overtaking is possible, remember.
But the only way that it's a 1-2 is if they Lewis pisses off into the distance and leaves Nico.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they have to race, they
could jeopardize the race for themselves, yeah. And Red Bull can capitalize on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And it's I don't just mean like knocking into each other. Which I think is quite possible. Because let's not forget the B that Nico must have in his bonnet. He let Lewis through because he couldn't challenge in Monaco.
Yeah.
And not only that, he was almost lapped by his teammate.
He was the last car not to be lapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was overtaken by Hülkenberg
on the line.
Genuinely, even though he goes to the point for... goes with a points lead into this race now, I think he is the underdog for this championship.
24 points.
Yeah, but no, even with that lead now that, because Lewis has had so much bad luck, and it's almost like saying to Nico, yeah, I've had loads of bad luck, but when I don't have bad luck, I fucking win.
Yeah, look how much better I am at you when our cars are the same.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. Let us know your predictions. As always, you can tweet them at Three Legs, Four Wheels.
Yep.
Or A Total Shunt.
Yep.
I'm Pablo100.
Chris.
I'm
at Flood21.
And you can drop us an email on threelegsfourwheels@gmail.com. And we've got the Facebook page as well. If you go to Facebook and search for Three Legs, Four Wheels, you will find us there.
As soon as you've finished listening to this, I'd like you to go and like the Facebook page.
Yeah, please do. Go over to the Facebook page and hit that massive thumbs up.
Because it's easier for us to talk to you as well on Facebook. You know, it's we always have little things. If you post a comment, like we were saying last week, we're going to make it known which one of us it is, so it's not just a blanket three legs, four wheels.
That's it. And also, you know, there's we're trying to get like
we can get more than 140 characters in there as well.
Yeah, of course we can. We got a little community going on as well. We got a few listeners in from different parts of the world who tend to chat to each other as well on our page. So just join in and, you know, join the Facebook join community. Cult, that was, right?
That was cult.
Cult?
Cult.
Yeah,
cult with an L. Yeah. And as always, me and Chris will be live blogging the race this weekend.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
Don't know if I'm going to be doing qualifying or not. I'm not, actually. I've got another gig. So, we'll be live blogging the race on Sunday. We will get the link up on the site for that as soon as is possible.
Yep.
And we will see you next week. Hopefully we'll be able to record on a Monday and have next week's episode out Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Tuesday morning UK time.
Tuesday morning UK time.
Super early Tuesday morning US time.
Yes, or late Tuesday afternoon if you're in China.
That's
yes. Shit
crazy times.
Yeah. But we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Excellent.
See you later.
Bye.